Good evening. The title I gave for this devotional is out of the text that we are going to read, and it's Concerns of God versus Human Concerns. The Concerns of God versus Human Concerns. And this is a passage I was reading through my devotionals this last week, and some words really struck me hard. So I'm reading from Matthew 16, 21 to 27. Matthew 16, 21 to 27. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you to ask you for your blessing, your presence, that these meditations, these words, Lord, will bring honor and glory to your name and will work in our hearts so that we come to you in truth, in spirit, and ask, what do you have us do, Lord, when we hear these words? For Jesus' sake, amen. In verse 23 of the text, we read, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." So we just heard a dialogue here between Jesus and Peter, and where Peter makes a not so unexpected response. Jesus is telling him, "I'm about to be suffering and get killed." So Peter's response is not an unexpected response, but for which he gets severely rebuked by Jesus. So have you ever wondered why Jesus said these harsh words in response to Peter? And so first we are going to look at what Jesus means by God's concerns, and then we'll look at what Jesus said are Peter's human concerns. So first let's reflect a little bit on God's concerns. So Jesus, as his earthly parents were told, were to call him by the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus was sent into the world, or as John puts it, God gave his only begotten Son out of love so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus was in the world on a mission. It was given to him by his Father, and he responded to his Father. Listen to what Hebrews 10 tells us the words of Jesus are. It says in Hebrews 10, When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, Jesus said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." Jesus understood the will and concern of his Father. The Father was not pleased with sacrifices that were required by the law. They were not accomplishing or providing the eternal salvation that the Father desires. But God's children have been sanctified and set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Jesus just announced to his disciples that he will be put to death. And this is the means of fulfilling the mission of Christ that he had come for. This is the way to accomplish the will of the Father. It was a costly way. Jesus, the disciple of his Father, knew the cost of discipleship that we just read about, that Jesus mentioned. He was ready for the self-denial that was ahead of him. He had already self-denied. He had humbled himself. He emptied himself. He became a man by leaving his heavenly throne. He was born of a woman under the law. He was born in a stable. All this is self-denial. But this self-denial was going to be expressed to the maximum when he, who knew no sin, became sin for us. When he took upon himself our curse, our punishment, as Isaiah 53 tells us, suffering, being blasphemed and insulted, being mocked, being flogged, wearing a crown of thorns instead of a crown of life and kingship. What else could self-denial look like? Shrieking a loud voice on the cross, "Father, why have you abandoned me, your beloved son?" By submitting himself to the wages of sin, sins that he did not commit. Wages of sin is death. By entering the grave, by remaining in a grave for 3 days, and he lost his life to save others, others that were not friends but adversaries to him and to his Father. And to what end all this? To bring us to the Father. And for him, the reward was the joy that was set before him. God's concern was that his Son would die and rise from the dead to open the way and restore the relationship that the Father has always desired to have with his creation, all of his creation, but especially with humanity. And though Jesus knew the price that he would have to pay, Jesus was laser focused on the cross. That was the mind of God. That was the concern of God. That was the reason God sent Jesus here. So, what are the human concerns that Jesus was referring to when he spoke to Peter? Didn't Jesus' response seem a wee bit harsh? Even a wee bit? After all, if you read a few verses earlier in the same chapter, you just would have heard a bold confession by Peter saying, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the Son of God," just a few verses earlier. So how would Peter go from bold confessor to become Satan and a stumbling block. How is it possible that Peter, who, like the other disciples, had told Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you," how is it possible that Jesus would rebuke him in such strong terms? Peter's human concerns aligned with Satan's. Recall the temptations of Jesus. We read about them in Matthew 4 in the wilderness when he began his ministry after his baptism. Wasn't Satan trying to sway him away from the mission that he came for? Well, no different than what Peter was proposing to Jesus. "Oh, stop talking about death, Jesus. Life is good with you around here. You're doing plenty good being alive. Healings, crowds, miracles, even once in a while, a glimpse of your glory on a high mountain." Peter, wittingly or unwittingly, was denying the implications of Jesus being the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent into the world by the Father to save his people from their sin. The here and now looks great, dear Jesus. So why this gloomy talk about death? "In my earthly perspective," said Peter, "we have it great here. We are good friends, aren't we? We are concerned for your good, even the good you are doing to so many people. Why would you say, Jesus, you must die?" As a preacher called James Boyce once said, Peter was in league with Satan. By his words and his actions of trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross, he was an offense, a stumbling block to Jesus by opposing the calling for which Jesus had come. But the Lord's wisdom is tough to restrain. So Jesus rebukes him, and he rebukes him sharply. So we ask, was Peter driven by a strong zeal to the extent of daring to rebuke Jesus? Was Peter driven by a strong zeal to rebuke Jesus? "Jesus, I know better. Let me stop talking for a second about Peter and his human response and ask us, who among us would not have dreaded the talk of the cross? If we were standing with the disciples that day and we heard Jesus announce to us that he has to suffer, he will be handed to the chiefs and the priests and all that, and he must be killed. You know, when Jesus mentions the cost of being a disciple, he's really playing the future for them. He was just reminding them of the persecution that was about to happen to them as they continued. His cross was going to be their cross. His death was going to be their death. I don't know if you saw the movie, Paul the Apostle of Christ, which is out in the theaters right now. I encourage you to see it, because it clearly illustrates the reality of the real cost of being a disciple of Jesus. First century Christianity, and throughout the history of Christians, any Christian who dared to live like a Christian faced suffering, persecution, and death. So, we read the text, and it tells us of the cost of being a follower of Jesus, even in today's world. Self-denial, suffering for his sake, even literally losing one's life for Jesus. This is not a hyperbole in today's world. It happens round the clock where Christians lose their lives because of the name of Jesus and because they have confessed him as Messiah, and they stand by their confession. So we need to ask ourselves today, in the present time and age, what is God's concern and what is my concern? in every circumstance you live in. What is God's concern and what is your concern? Jesus was crucified, died, was buried, he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, he sits on the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge one day the living and the dead. This is our true and bold confession of Jesus and our faith, just like Peter had his bold confession. But we see how that bold confessor turned suddenly to someone who is being rebuked for uttering words that seem to be good intentions, seem to be for the care of Jesus. What do you mean must be killed? So what are human concerns that would provoke a sharp rebuke from Jesus in our life today? Could Jesus turn to you and me and say, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block. Your mind is not on the things of God, but on earthly things"? Is it that we live for the here and now as if there is no eternity? Peter enjoyed his friendship with Jesus and with the disciples, where he grew to be close friends with them over the course of 3 years. And he loved the fellowship of the here and now more than the goal of the Messiah's coming. Are we also doing the same? That our mission or the church's mission ends here? Are there subtle things that consume our daily life and that unfocuses us from the mission Jesus gave to his disciples and to you and to me? Now, I don't want to hear your answers. You have to think about that, because I've struggled with those things. As I went through that devotional, I keep thinking, really, I need to confess that many times my concern is not God's concern at all. I'm more concerned about here, about me, about my life, about my family, about my work, about everything else. They're not bad concerns. But is it the concern of God? Is that what he has called you and me to be? Jesus loves to challenge his disciples and even to rebuke them sharply, like we saw here. But I pray and I ask that the mind of Christ become our mindset. That our minds be set on the things of heaven, the things that Jesus calls us to be and do. Jesus said, "As I have loved, so you must love one another." And we know what kind of love that was. It was the kind of love whereby Jesus laid down his life for others. He loved them, the scripture says, to the end. And to the end was the cross. I don't know how we love, how you and I love, but I'm not sure that we love to the end. Love God to the end and love one another to the end. So tonight, this is a devotional. I'm not trying to preach. I'm trying to share with you some of the reflections on this text, because it struck me, where is my mind and where is God's mind in my daily life? So as we close this message or this devotional, I want us to spend some time actually prayerfully thinking before I pray, and between you and the Lord. Father, may your concern for your world and for your people be mine today. Let's bow our heads to pray. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, that no temptation, no words dissuaded him from going to the cross. Whether it be from his adversary, Satan, or people who spoke like if they were speaking and be the mouthpiece of Satan in his life. But Lord, we also come to confess that many times our minds are set on very earthly things and we're not even sure we have your mind or the mind of Christ. And yet we thank you for the encouragement that while you talk about discipleship, Lord Jesus, and while you talk about self-denial and the cost of carrying one's cross and so forth, these for you were not words only. These actually are the words you lived out in your life, in the suffering, in the persecution you endured, in the cross that you endured, in the separation from your Father, in the grave. Oh Lord, we need your strength. We need the help of your Spirit. We need your mind as we live day in and day out, so that we are doing your will in our life. We are accomplishing your purposes. And so, Lord, as we know from your word, we don't know sometimes what to pray for and how to pray, but we ask you, Holy Spirit and Lord Jesus, to help us and to intercede for us and to open our eyes, to be true to our faith and our confession in this world, to love as Jesus you have loved. And we know we cannot do that on our own. We need you, Lord. Bless us this week, Father, as we go forward, and remind us to be mindful of your concerns, to have the mind of Christ in our life. For Jesus' sake, amen.